I want to start off with a quote from a speech. Standing beneath this serene sky, overlooking these broad fields, now reposing from the labors of the waning year, the mighty Alleghenies dimly towering before us, the graves of our brethren beneath our feet, it is with hesitation that I raise my poor voice to break the eloquent silence of God and nature. How many of you have heard that start of the speech before? Okay, how about this one? 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. How many have heard that? Yeah, as expected, most of us are more familiar with the second. But both of these are technically the Gettysburg Address. The first was the quote that was the beginning of a 2-hour speech commemorating the Battle of Gettysburg, given by Edward Everett in 1863, November of 1863. Edward Everett, who was a former Secretary of State and a governor, was the main speech of the day, and I repeat, he spoke for, I think, over 2 hours. Afterwards, he sat, and President Lincoln stood up and delivered 272 words in under 3 minutes that would be forever memorialized. Now, I'm not really going to talk about the substance of Lincoln's message, but when I pondered these facts of looking at the speeches, looking at the messages, looking at the simplicity really of one of them, I thought there's something to this. There's something to brevity, to simplicity. So, for the next 2.5 hours, I'd like to talk about brevity. The power of simplicity. You all have heard the phrase, KISS, keep it simple, Schallenberger. I'll say that. Keep it simple. But here's our reality in 2025, and this is a quote from afterburner.com, and I quote, between work, phones, laptops, radio, TV, and all channels of information that we encounter throughout the day, we are consuming around 11.8 hours of information per day. And yet, oftentimes, we can't even recall a single thing that we've learned in the day. In a knowledge economy, information would be seen as the most valuable commodity, but when it's coming at us from every angle imaginable, it is doing more harm than good. And further in that article, it says, we take in 5 times more information than the average person did in 1986, just decades ago. It's tough to simplify the chaos. It's often not peaceful out in the world, and unfortunately sometimes within churches as well. But the lack of peace and the lack of simplicity that is in the world. I do hope our relationship with God is not complicated. I hope our relationship with our church is not complicated. I sincerely hope that church messages can help us simplify the madness that is out there. And just like we've taken the Gettysburg Address with us, that poor Mr. Everett, his speech, for most of us, I didn't see a lot of hands out there. I was looking at you, Brent. I think you might have raised your hand. I didn't see a lot of hands out there. We didn't really take that with us, that 2-hour-plus commemoration. We took Lincoln's words with us for over 150 years with us. And just like we take that with us, I hope we take our weekly teachings with us and apply them. Just like those 272 words helped people, they gave hope, they provided understanding, they made simplicity out of the complex situation that they were in. We often don't remember every sermon or every study. I'm certainly guilty of this. But I know you've had conversation like this where one person goes, man, one of the best sermons I heard was about 7 years ago at this Feast of Tabernacles. It was just wonderful. And yet, some of us, we can't remember last week's message. For some reason, certain messages stick with us. Maybe it's because they're made simple for us to understand, and it's packaged in a way that we can take as we move forward. So how can we keep it simple? I have four things to focus on this week. I was even debating that, because three sounds a little bit more simple. But I have four things to focus on this week. Point number one is, don't let popular scripture or sayings lose power. What do I mean by this? Simple doesn't mean lacking power. Again, 272 words. Brief, but powerful. Unfortunately, the more I hear a saying, it becomes just that in my head. A saying. And I let it lose its power over time. And what am I talking about? Some of these sayings and some of these scriptures that we can rattle off, these memory verses. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It's not even just scripture, though. It's sayings like, what would Jesus do? You know, that's become popularized. I can't even say that word, popularized. However, it's not a bad thought. What would Jesus do? God is good. It's become a popular saying. It's not a bad thing to think about. It's powerful still. Go over these sayings slower. These scriptures slower. Remember, take them in as the first time again. Slow down and think about the meaning. And don't overcomplicate their simplicity and their power. Point number two, it goes along with number one, is meditate on a scripture or a phrase. Doesn't have to be a popular one. I'm just talking about the essence of meditating on a scripture or a phrase. Maybe it's something you'll hear today. I've had numerous conversations with people where it's something that they say, and I got to think about it afterwards. And it's an encouraging thing that they said. It's not bad to meditate on good things that we share with each other. This is often why our messages are boiled down to points. Right, we might talk for a long time, but at the end of the day, we get to, I have 5 points. Because we all know you're not going to be able to recite a 50-minute sermon as you go out to the week. But maybe 5 points we can stick with us. If you'll turn with me to Philippians 4, and we'll look at verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, starting in verse 8. A very popular scripture. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. There's so little of these things sometimes in the world, right? It's almost you could see Paul pleading. Whatever you find that is good, focus on it. Spend your time on it. And that's a popular scripture. I like the idea of even meditating on that scripture. Meditating, slowing down, also takes up your time. As I just quoted in that article, so much of our time is being spent consuming information. Well, this concerted effort to slow down, it takes up your time. So you're, by essence, not consuming information. It goes from consuming to processing and slowing, which we so desperately need. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds." I'm sure you've played this game with, and it's not a game, but with your spouse or someone you're next to, you get a code or whatever, and you say, hey, remember these numbers real quick, 8426753. And or you're like, okay, I got to remember that. 842-6753. 84. You just keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. You do it for 2 minutes straight. And if you will remember it, right? If you do it for 60 seconds or even a little bit longer, and then you tell that person, hey, I remember the number, 842-6753. I think that's what I said. And then 5 minutes later, right? It's completely gone. Completely gone. At least it is out of my mind. What if you did that for 2 minutes straight, wrote it down, came back to it every hour for the next week? That number is going to become like a childhood phone number to you. You're not going to lose it. It's going to be basically tattooed on your brain. And that leads me to the next point. Point number three, reread and take notes. Now, I'll admit, I have the hardest time taking notes in church with little ones. But church isn't the only place to take notes. We all have personal study. That's a great time to pull out a pen and paper or wherever you take notes and take notes. And what does this force on us, rereading and taking notes? It's rather than doing what our brains are addicted to doing, which is going to the next thing and the next thing and the next topic and the next screen and the next whatever, we slow down, we learn a subject deeper, and we learn to understand it in simpler terms. I'm sure you all have heard the phrase, if you can't teach it to a child, you don't know it that well. That's part of learning. If you could teach something to a 10-year-old in simple terms, you probably really understand the subject. Reread and take notes. And point number four, be like Jesus today. You all know that sign that the Notre Dame players hit when they're going down to take the field? Do some of you know what I'm talking about, where they hit that sign? Yeah. What does it say? Play like a champion today. It's so simple, yet it's so powerful. Play like a champion today. The act is for today. You can take that with you on the field. You can remember that. Be like Jesus today. Kind of want to create a sign in the house as I go down to my little office and hit that. I've told Rachel I want the play like the champion today sign because I work in the basement and I want it hanging as I'm going down to the office. She said no, but I had a friend in college who became a Christian and was very zealous at the beginning. His interactions with people they seemed to change. Everyone and anyone was dealt with was refreshingly kind actions. And he eventually told me his goal was to treat everyone like Jesus Christ. Not a bad goal. A beautiful and simple concept that he brought with him throughout his days. And I've failed at this so much. It's a standard, quite honestly, that we naturally want to shy away from. Whenever I got in trouble when I was growing up, I would not compare myself to Jesus Christ. I would compare myself to criminals. I would say, Mom, it's not like I'm in jail. It's not like I'm killing anybody. I would never say, Mom, yeah, I'm falling short compared to Jesus Christ. What if we remember this before we go to work? Sending that email, seeing someone who needs help, talking to new people, be like Jesus today. If you all turn with me to Galatians 2:20, chapter 2, verse 20. This scripture was groundbreaking for me when I was proving all of this to myself. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's a scripture I like to think about often. If I just focus on that, my day will probably go better. And this leads you to thinking, how can I be like Jesus? I better study his reactions. I better study what he taught, what he pointed to, the scriptures he quoted. So I encourage us to try out these tactics. And some of these we can literally start now. And but don't peek over at me, see if I'm taking notes. I'll probably be fist-fighting a 3-year-old, but they often are a little tough in church. But Taking notes is a wonderful thing. I would encourage you to, if you don't do it now and reread and all of these tactics. So let's keep it simple. Popular scripture is still powerful. Meditate, reread, and be like Jesus today.